Sue, I would like you to explain about a pain in our neck. Would you come here? Better, but not gone. Please, everybody, pay attention. This is important. She's going to talk about a pain in our neck.
Sometimes God gives you a word of knowledge, which means you may feel something in your body that's not about you. It's to trigger you to pray for someone else. Not always, but once in a while, that's what it is. So Harvey yesterday got up. He had a backache. He had a real painful, stiff neck. And I thought, okay, he slept wrong or something, you know. Then I got up this morning, and I had pain and stiffness in my neck. And I said, okay, both of us at the same time, I think it must be a word of knowledge. So I admit I did take an aspirin and put a hot rag on my neck, but I also prayed, God, if this is a word of knowledge, meaning prophetically and as apparel, that there are people who are stiff-necked, rebellious, unrepentive, stubborn, if it is a word that is going on in the body here, then I want to pray you would grant those people repentance today. And if this is just to trigger our prayer for that, then that's what we want to do. So I prayed that, he prayed that, my pain's instantly gone. He still got a little, so I'm wondering who's the, you know, but mine's gone.
We do two extremes. We as leaders, we either tell people we're dictatorial and we tell people what they have to do, or we're so lenient that we don't speak what God wants and allow people to just go into sin or do things that God would not have. And I don't wish to be in any way dictatorial, and what I was brought up in after being saved, I'm talking about, was a very harsh, I just want to call it legalistic. You got to live by rules and you got to do everything a certain way and whatever. On the other hand, sometimes our liberty, we want to give liberty, but like in Galatians, it says, only use not your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a cloak or a covering for sin. See, a lot of times we take liberty and we go beyond what God gives us liberty to do. And we say, I have liberty, but it's like we take lightly the things of God, and I just want us to be aware of that, to ask God. A couple things we're going to talk about. One is what we've been talking about is, what is the purpose or goal of burning bush? Somebody tell me. There's three things. I'm just doing this over and over until we get it. I gave you three. I didn't go over all three?
I didn't say that.
Oh, she said I only gave two. Okay, well, let's make sure that you get it this week, okay? Our goal at Burning Bush, there's three things. Number one, okay, it is to know Jesus Christ personally. Do you know Him? When did you meet Him? Tell me about it. And by the way, that's part of your homework. So, Roxanne, you did your homework on that, and I don't know where you would like it, but I feel like God wants me to give you a gold star.
Cool. Thank you. You can get it off your finger.
And you know what? You gave your testimony of how you met Jesus, and you did your homework, and He said to give you a gold star. Okay? Now, some people might laugh at that. When I first had the thought a few weeks ago, I thought, oh, isn't that cute, Lord? I remember when I was a kid and I got a gold star. I'd love to get a gold star. Hey, guy. I'd love to get a gold star when I was a kid, you know, from my teacher. And God said, I'm not playing. He said, you're giving them a gold star from me. Number one, our goal at Burning Bush is to know Jesus Christ personally. I was talking to somebody yesterday or the day before who doesn't go here. I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember. But what we said was, how can you help someone else to come to Jesus if you don't know when you came to Jesus? How can you help someone else come to Jesus if you don't know how you came to Jesus? When and how? What does it take for someone to come to Jesus? So our goal at Burning Bush, number one, is to know Jesus Christ personally. You know, when we have hundreds of people coming and many of them don't know God, but they're coming here getting loved on. Roxanne gave a testimony, I believe it was last week, about how she met Jesus. But when Roxanne came here, as with a number of people, just like with Glenn, when Glenn came into my life, though I witnessed to him, it took him several years to come to a place of salvation. He had to go through a lot of irritation of being troubled or bothered by coming in contact with the words that I would say that God would have me say to him. When Roxanne came here, she came to Burning Bush for a year before she met Jesus. She came to Burning Bush for a year and was just being loved on and believed in and going and being, exposed to, yes, exposed to the Spirit. And during that year, not picking on her, this we all do the same thing, but she was in a self-deceit of self-righteousness. And as she came here and God loved on her and she got accepted and she got to a place where she could handle hearing the truth. Though when God first exposed her to that question, anybody around would have thought she couldn't handle hearing it. But it was what was needed to bring her in. And what I'm saying to you is, the very first point, Tana, is to know Jesus Christ personally. Number two, and that's the whole goal here. Number two, it is to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus every moment. It's to live victoriously. If I help you to come to know Jesus, or if you come to know Jesus, and there's many people in America that know Jesus, they have met Him, but they do not live a victorious life. They live a roller coaster life. They don't talk to God because they know they're not right with God. But Harvey, I thought you said they got saved. They got saved, but then they didn't continue to walk with God. They continued to sin. They didn't even have to practice at it. They continued to sin, and they didn't get that dealt with. And though when you get saved, your account is eternally settled. That's why it's called eternal life, not temporary life. The gift of God is eternal life, okay? And that account is settled, okay? The problem is when we sin, there's a daily fellowship. Let's say Jason is Nathan's son, because in all intents and purposes, he might as well be, okay? He lives there, he eats there, they clothe him, they bathe him. Here's your little ducky. Okay. Are you listening? So, yeah, right. Okay. We're going to talk about that. But anyway, so though he could be born into his family and they have a relationship, the fellowship is broken because every day he sins. Actually, every day he sins. They both sin. And so every day they need to come and get that dealt with. And then it's not just once a day. Because what happens is we go through and we sin. And when we sin, I hope you're taking notes, because this is on the test. And I'm not even playing. This test is your life. This is how you're going to live victoriously. When you sin, as soon as you're aware of it, you bring it under the blood of Jesus. You get it dealt with. You get it forgiven. You come back to Jesus. He doesn't leave you. You leave Him. He does not leave you. Hebrews 13:5, is that where it is? Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Five words. Jesus will never leave me. Okay? So number one, to know Jesus Christ personally. Number two, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus every moment. Number three, how did I put it in a... To love others to Jesus. Number three is to love others to Jesus. You see, if you're in this intimate love relationship with Jesus, if you're hanging out with Jesus, what's going to happen is as you're hanging out with Him, you're going to be experiencing abundant, overflowing life. You're going to be experiencing peace. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. And you're just going to have peace. And it's like you're going to be so full of that. And you're going to look at everybody else and your eyes are going to be open and you're going to see most people don't live in peace. They don't even have a piece of peace. They may have pizza, but they don't have peace. Yes. Let the kids go. Hey kids, bye-bye. You can stay, little Jason. Okay. Nady, it's up to your mommy, Leida, if you can stay or not. Okay. Number one, to know Jesus. Number two, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus every moment. Number three, to love others to Jesus. Did you get all 3 points? We can't love others. Let me give you a thought. We are not trying to love others to Bernie Bush. We are not trying to love others to North American Christianity. We're not trying to love others to religion. We're not trying to love others to Harvey or Sue. We want to love them to Jesus. Jesus Christ. We're not trying to love them to Jehovah. We're not trying to love them to the Holy Spirit. That we'll never get to God that way. Never. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. You try to come some other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus. I met Jesus in 76, and it wasn't until 1983 when I met the Holy Spirit. There's three manifestations of God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I met the Father in 95. Met the Holy Spirit in 83. I met Jesus in 76. Jesus is my life. Jesus is who I need every moment of every day. Father loves me. You go ahead. Do me a favor. If you can leave them open just a little bit, it creates circulation. I mean, just a little. How much kids do I want to hear? If I hear them, whatever. Just leave it open just a little, okay? Just enough so that there's some air flowing, if you would. I just want you to get these three things of where we're going. If you're here, this is where we're going, because I want to get you to Jesus. Remember, if I can just get you to Jesus, everything will be okay. If somebody's dying, we want to get them to Jesus. If somebody's sick, we want to get them to Jesus. If somebody's hurting, we want to get them to Jesus. If somebody's going through trials, we want to get them to Jesus. If somebody's having financial problems, we want to get them to Jesus. If I gave them $1,000, it's a temporary fix. Because guess what? There's a reason they're having those financial problems. It may be self-induced, and $1,000, they're just going to waste it. Like people that have won money, millions of dollars in lotteries and stuff, and then a year later or whatever, they're homeless again. Or they're in jail because they didn't pay their taxes. See, they were irresponsible. Just because they had a bunch of money did not fix it. The final test in this world is, are we going to worship the Almighty or the Almighty Dollar? The final test, are we going to worship and trust the Almighty or the Almighty Dollar? If we're living for the Almighty Dollar, if that's where our focus is, if we compromise the Almighty, if we compromise, well, I don't go to church this week because I don't go to God's house on God's day to hear God's word from God's man through God's spirit and gather with God's people. And I don't do that because we're putting something above God. We're compromising. What will happen is when the test comes, we won't stand. Because if we're not standing when things are easy, what do you think it's going to be like when the whole world is turned against God? Are you going to be able to stand? Don't you feel stronger when you're around us? Well, what's it like when you're by yourself and they beheaded me? Where are you? What are you going to be? Well, I'm a little sheep running like Jesus when they killed him and his disciples went hid in a room. Do you understand? This is about making you strong. This is about helping you what you say you really want. Because I really want it for you. But I can't make your choices. So I'm trying to help you. Spoon feed today. We're going to go over what we went over last week, but we're going to do it a little bit different. We can't. I thought we were going to do the second 9 points, and God said, nope, they're not ready for that. Let's go over the last 9 points, the first 9 points that we talked about last week. You remember the outline we gave? Steps to what? Nope. Nope, I don't have any more. I've got it in my thing. But you got one over there to share with? Okay. The title is Steps 2. Now, let me give you a thought. Except for you getting saved, what I'm going to talk to you about right now, I don't want you to miss this. Please don't miss this. What I'm going to talk to you about today, apart from you getting saved, is the most important thing you will ever hear, I think. Because it's how to deal with sin, or how to live in the presence of God, or how to have peace of God, how to have the power of God. It all is how you deal with sin. You may get saved and think you dealt with it. It's not a one-time, bam, thank you. It can be as far as you going to heaven. But if you want to live hell on earth, don't listen to what I'm saying. Keep doing what you've done. This is about helping you to have victory. Each one of us. I'm not doing this because I want to do this. I'm not doing this because I have an agenda or an axe to grind, as they used to say. I'm doing this because God said, this is what we need. I go to deal with people that aren't saved, and they want to get past that. And I go, I can't go past that, Roxanne. You know, back whenever. I can't go past that, Glenn. back whenever. Because that's the next thing on the agenda of God's plan for your life. You can't put ingredients to mix a cake when you don't have a bowl. You got to have a bowl. Jesus is the bowl. He's the one who's your container. He's the one that your life gets mixed up in. And you got to have Him. Well, guess what? What I'm going to talk about today, and what we talked about last week, but what we're going to talk about today in more detail, you think, how could I get more detail than 19-point outline of last week? Because we're going to go over those points. Let me ask you this. I asked you this week to do some homework. Do you remember your homework? I'm going to just remind you. I asked you, number one, last week, I asked you to take these 19 points and to read over them this week. I asked you to take the first 9 points from last week, to take the verses and look them up this week. Did you do that? Is there anybody that did that? You did that? Good for you. I got a green star for you. Where do you want me to put the green star?
Right here.
Are you sure? That is so cool. I like that. Did you do that? I got a green star for you. You did? Which one did you memorize? You did! You little booger head, you're going to get 2 green stars.
Do
you want? Uh-huh. Okay.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Plunge your hands, you sinners.
Oh, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Plunge your hands, you sinners.
Purify
your heart, you double-minded.
That is so awesome. Where do you want your second star? I'm going to give you a blue one for a memory verse.
Put it on here and keep me to remember if you study it.
You did good. Suggestion. I heard what Wayne and Tana did. Wayne took, and I did this with Mike because Eric told me he was over there one night and they did it. And Eric said, you know, he's told me before, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to tell all that. But anyway, but the point is that he saw Wayne and Tana, and Wayne took the first letter of each word and put them on a little piece of paper and held them up to his kids, and his kids could memorize the verses. There were some people here, Claudia, Wayne and Claudia, and they had their 2 little kids, and I helped them to memorize the verse last week, and that's how I did it. We went over the verse, and it was a real long one. I'd never memorized before myself, Revelation 3:7. And it was a long one. And God said, take those and put them on a piece of paper like Wayne and Tana did. And I did that, and it helped them. So if you just took and wrote out words like submit, resist, draw, and then cleanse, and then purify, then that way you'll go through and you'll remember the phrases. And then you can get rid of the words one at a time.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And work your way back. I'm just saying it works, okay? Okay, did you memorize that verse too? All right. You want to say it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
That is so awesome. Anybody else?
We also did one John 1:9.
You did 1 John 1:9?
If we confess our sins, God will always be faithful and just and forgive us our sins and cleanse us our unrighteousness.
That's good. Next week, you work on that this week, and you get it better, and I'll give you a star.
Okay.
All right?
I know it was close.
All right, little Dave?
Yeah.
All right. You're doing good. I know it. You did. You did. You got it exactly. Who else did that? Who else did the homework? What'd you do? You did the verses? Go ahead. I want to hear them.
Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Repent.
Resist
the devil, and he will flee from you. Not draw an eye unto God, and he will draw an eye unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners.
Purify
your heart, ye double-minded.
That is awesome. Where do you want your star? Right there? Okay. Who else did their homework? What? What'd you do? Okay, go ahead, old Tommy.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Tommy, you are doing so good. I am so pleased with you. Where do you want your star, Tommy? All right. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Yes, sir?
You know, memorizing that is important, but then once you have it memorized and stop and think about what exactly the words mean in the reality of what God's saying to you, and it's a tool, yet, but when you, I know what that means now, and it helps me in my daily life. Yeah.
Did y'all hear what he said? He said, memorizing it was good. He said, but now that I memorized it, he said, I'm thinking on the words and I'm really getting it. I'm really understanding it now. Before I was just hearing it. Yes, sir.
I wanted to try the verse. I didn't do it over the week, but I still want to try it anyway.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, double-minded.
Look at you, little Jesus. You're doing so good. Man, I'm just like, you guys are coming along so good. Where do you want your star, Lord Jason? Right here?
Sure.
Okay. Yes? Go get breakthrough. There's that. Yes. There is even more. I know. You know what? There is so much more, but it's like, do you know something that God told me? I don't know if it was this week, last week, but He's been telling me, but He just said it in these words in the last week or two. You know what He said? He said, I said, Lord, I have so much I want to give them. And He said, I know, but it doesn't do any good to give them that if they don't have this first. What are we building on? And it's like, we call it basics, but folks, I was talking to my folks the other day, and they're like close to 80. And I said to my folks the other day, I said, do you realize, these words came out of my mouth. I was just flowing in the Spirit, and these words came out of my mouth, Leida. And they said, do you realize that most Christians don't even own these basics? They don't even understand about being planted. They don't understand about everyday feeding on the Word of God. They don't even, I mean, they may have heard it, but they don't do it. And they don't even have the basics. Just because they have a bunch of scriptural knowledge, what are we trying to make them? A haphazard Christian encyclopedia? You know, they're full of knowledge, but it's all here and there. It doesn't do any good. It's not building them. They're not walking it. There's no power. There's no presence. There's no peace. I call these things basics, but I'm going to tell you what. Most people don't even have that. And you folks, I get so excited because as time goes on, I just watch you and I hear coming out of your mouth and I see in your lives basics that a lot of people don't even own. It is so cool. And God has so much more. Sue keeps telling me, look at all these notes I've got. Look at this study I got. She's sharing it with me, and it's like just God pouring out on me. Glory, you know. And I'm going, she goes, I don't know when I'm going to get to share it. And what God just said to me was, I've got so much more to give them, but I can't give that to them until they get what I've, this stuff. Yes.
Well, in the process of learning these verses, I noticed before and after the topic of humility. In verse 6 of James 4, it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Then those two verses, and then up down to verse 10, humble yourselves there in the sight of God, the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Bracketing those verses we memorize.
Exactly. Isn't that cool? It's like a sandwich. You need to eat your sandwich. James 4, 6 through 10, it's a sandwich. It's right there. I see, you guys are just going to get me excited. I'm just like thinking you're getting this and you're not like going to go run forward in God. And I'm just going to have to start running to catch up to you. I'm just so excited. This isn't cool. See, it's not just sitting there. See, when Tana has that little guy, Jonathan, she just sits there and she keeps spoon feeding him. After a while, one of them reaches up and they grab that spoon. They want to do it themselves. And after a while, I mean, of course, they miss, and you get to do all the cleanup. Aren't you excited? But what's neat is, now they're starting to try to feed themselves. And as time goes on, they're able to do it. The more they exercise, the more they do that, the more they're able to feed themselves. And then they get big, like, I think Nathan could now feed himself. You know, he's put big enough. Only kidding. I mean, not that I was kidding that he can't, but, you know, just playing. My point is, that's where God's wanting to bring us. Because it says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes or newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Over in, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 5, it says, you have need of meat. You have need of meat, but you're still on milk. See, God, and He calls it being born again. See, God likens all this to us being, and then He says, our Father, which art in heaven. See, the whole picture is that we're His children. And just like a little child, we have to be brought along, okay? Homework. I'm not going to, if you have more homework, we're going to go over that, but I'm not going to take time to continue to do that right now, but I am excited for those. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stars got to be given away today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm so excited. I want us to look at this outline, and then I want to walk you through it, or I want us to walk through it together. I want you to look at the outline, and I want you to notice the title. These are steps to victorious and thorough deliverance from sin. Let me ask you two simple questions. Are you ready? Here's two simple questions. This is just you and me talking. And it's actually God asking you these questions. Do you want to love Jesus more? Two of you do. Three of you do. Do you want to love Jesus more? Number two, do you want to have victory over sin? Because either you're going to have Jesus living victoriously in you, or sin is going to live victoriously in you. Their ideas of victory are two different things. One is a conqueror, and the other one's to liberate, to set you free. So notice the note. We can't go to the next number without understanding and cooperating completely with the point we're on. So let's look at point number one. As we go through this, I'm going to ask you to put these in questions. This is what we're going to do today. This is what God said. He said, I said, okay, God, we're going to go to the next 9 points. We did the first 9 last week. And He said, no, He said, you did what I wanted you last week. He said, but we got to go back over it. Because he said, this isn't just skimming over it. We don't need surface gloss over. We need to understand it. We need to own it. Number one, we have to be willing in order to have victorious and thorough deliverance from sin. We have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits that we've partnered with. How could we turn that into a question? Turn that into a question for me. Go ahead, say it.
Are we willing to see our sin and the spirits involved?
And the Antichrist spirits involved? Very good. I like that. Probably like it because it's the same question, the same way God gave it to me. Ask yourself that question. Am I willing to see my sin and the Antichrist spirits involved with my sin? Am I willing to see my sin? So let's just stop there. Are you? Like the sons of thunder. Okay. So are you willing to see your sin? Because guess what? Let me help you understand something. I don't want to pick on anybody, so... Okay, I'll use little Glenn. Okay? Let's take Glenn. Okay? Was Glenn evolved or was Glenn made in the image of God? Good. I'm glad nobody was joking and said, well, you need to use a different example. You know. Okay, so he was made in the image of God, correct? Now, I want you to get this because this is about you. Did you evolve like from monkeys or apes or something, or were you made in the image of God? If you were made in the image of God, does God have sin? So you weren't made with sin, right? Okay. So if Glenn, let's take Glenn, he's made in the image of God. But does Glenn sin?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad the first one that answered that was Glenn. Does Glenn sin? Yes. Was Glenn created in sin? Or was he made in the image of God, who does not sin? He was made in the image of God, right? Now let's look at you. Were you made in the image of God? Well, why do we sin? If you're made in the image of God, why do you sin? Here, say it out loud. What'd you say, spirits? What? We've agreed with evil spirits. What do you want to say?
We live in a world of evil spirits.
We live in a world of evil spirits. Now, what is a spirit? What is it? What's a spirit? What's an evil spirit? Demons. So what does that mean? What are they? They're antichrist. What are they? Invisible angels that are evil. Okay. I'm trying to get you somewhere because I want you to understand something. They are living beings. They are living beings. Glenn was made in the image of God. He was made without sin. He was made perfectly. He was designed to fellowship with God. And yet Glenn sins. Something happened from when God made him to the way we found Glenn. What happened? Living beings came and deceived him. They came, they invaded his life. They didn't come wearing red clothes and horns and a tail and a pitchfork and say, "Ha ha ha, I'm here to invade your life. I'm going to take you away from God. I'm going to corrupt you. I'm going to steal your peace. I'm going to steal your joy. I'm going to make you powerless. I'm going to make you feel guilty all the time." When I was growing up, they used to tell all these devil jokes. And then when I got in church, I kept hearing all these devil jokes. You know? I don't find it funny. Because I don't like what he does. Because he corrupts your life. If you take a car, when I used to work at GM, we take a car, we didn't make them with rust on it. They were susceptible to rust because they had metal. But when they came off the assembly line, they looked perfect. No rust, clean. But when you go outside, now there's moisture, there's salt, there's other things that can corrupt that car. Do you understand? They have to invade. That car has to be exposed to those elements to get corrupted. Are you with me? Sin is like rust. We were made in the image of God, but we get corrupted by what we get exposed to. What's the title of this? Steps to Victorious and Thorough Deliverance from Sin. You'd like that, right? You'd like to be victorious over sin instead of sin being victorious over you? You'd like to have thorough deliverance instead of a little trying to pray and whatever, but you still can't get it off of you? You don't get deliverance from it? So pay attention. You are a car made by God without corruption. You were made in the image of God. Your spirit is made in the image of God. You are without corruption. But as an antichrist spirit, a living being came along and sought to interrupt or invade or pervert your life. He only had entrance. He only could get in as you allowed him. Number one, what did you expose yourself to? Okay? Number two, just because you got exposed doesn't mean that you had to agree. That's why James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I was tempted this week on numerous occasions of demons coming to me, trying to tempt me to think a way to do something. I had the same thing as you. I was just aware of it. And as they came to me, I said, "No, I submit myself to God. I'm resisting you." Better not say it to you. "I was resisting you, snake breath. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want any part of you. I don't want to go where you're taking me. I don't even want to think it." Because as you start thinking it, you go there. If you dwell on it, you're going to go there. That's why you need to dwell on the Scripture. That's why you need to memorize the Scripture. And then you go, "Man, as I dwell on it, I'm getting it." It's like, duh, I've been waiting for y'all to say that. You know, as I'm reading it, look at the verse before. Look at the verse after. Wow, it's like it's all clear. It's like opening up. Look at. I got a verse before, I got a verse after. It's like it all sandwiches, it all comes together. I'm getting it. What you dwell on, what you think on is what you become. Proverbs 24:6, I believe, says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It's either 23 or 24:6, whichever. Look it up later. The point is this. To have thorough deliverance from sin, number one, we got to ask ourselves, am I willing to see my sin? and the Antichrist spirits that are involved? Am I willing? Because if you're not willing, you're not going to see them. If you're not willing, you won't see it. If you want to defend, justify, argue, explain, excuse, blame shift, deny, then we don't do that. We don't go there. Got to remember where my notes are. Okay, so we have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits that we agreed with. Psalm 51:6, you remember? Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. You see, if you and I went to talk and I said, do you have sin? And you may, out of pride, go, nope. But down inside, your insides already convict you. Yep. But because of pride, you won't admit it. Pride is a living being called a spirit of pride. We partner with them. We invite them in. We let them, when they come to invade us, come to deceive us, we buy into their lies. See, it's going to happen in our lives. We're going to be deceived. They've been around for a long time. They know how to do it. If you were playing a game, Rebecca, with Crystal or Jackson, you could probably beat them because you've been around longer. You have more experience. You can figure it out. Well, those living beings called spirits can figure it out. They know how to deceive us. But Jesus is bigger than them. He created them. Those evil spirits did not create. They are not God. They are invisible. They're a living being. But they do not create. They do not have the power of God. God created them. They don't have power over you unless you give it to them. We give it to them because they deceive us. Remember the picture? Mommy and Daddy are yelling at us. Rah, rah, rah. The evil spirit says, if you yell back at them, rah, 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 then that's how you could defend yourself. Or you could go into self-pity. Ooh. Or you can play little Miss Ice Man, you know, and harden your heart and get all cold. That's a spirit telling you that, and you choose, yeah, I'll do that, instead of running to Daddy, Abba Father, Daddy God. They did this, and he hugs you, and he rubs your hand, and he kisses your little boo-boos. Kiss my little boo-boo. He kisses your boo-boos. And you learn to have this intimate relationship where you climb up on the lap of Daddy and you get to know the Comforter when you need comfort. But if you buy into the lies of the living evil beings that tell you, no, just be little Miss Ice Queen. No, just harden your heart. Sue was saying this week, when they promise you when you promise protection from this person, what they're really doing is you're putting up a shield that shields you from ever letting love in. And you're not just protecting against this person, because those Antichrist spirits are just trying to find a way to get in. But they don't just sit there dormant, oh, thanks for letting us in. They say, now we're going to live in other areas of your life and you're not even going to be aware because you gave us... We knocked on your door and you opened it and said, come on in. Are we willing to see these spirits? You see, we call it our sin and it's our sin, but we were deceived, and I'm trying to help you get victory here. If you could understand this, if this is getting in you, if any little lights are beep, 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 beep coming on, this is going to like set you free. You're going to get so mad at the devil that you're just going to obey Jesus and you're going to get vengeance on the devil without any bad attitude. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, about verse 6. It says, we fulfill all vengeance, or we get revenge on disobedience by our obedience to Christ. The devil wants to live inside of us. And he can't unless we invite him. Who met Jesus, the most recent? Who met Jesus? Who just got saved? Last? Who remembers? Dave? Okay. How old are you? 45? Good. Glad you know. We're wondering. Okay. 45. Okay. How did God get inside of you? Did you invite Him?
Yes.
How did sin get inside of you before that? Did you invite it? Did you make agreement with it?
Yeah, I was presented to me and I opened the door.
You're awesome. You got the right answers. Now watch this. God wants to live inside of Him. It was 45 years of this living being living a life before God came to live inside of him. You know why? Because he hadn't invited God inside of him before. He had not received him before. How old are you? 19, 20? How old are you? Almost 20. You can tell when they're under 21 because then they want to tell you they're almost 20. You know, I love it. And you know what? I'm so glad you were born. Happy birthday in advance. Now watch this. And you just received Christ not all that long ago, right? Okay. Why did she live for 19 years without Him? God wanted to live inside of her. God made her in His image. God created her for fellowship. Why didn't He come to live inside of her? Because she did not agree. She did not receive. She did not invite Him. Do you understand? God and the devil are in a war. We get to choose. We're the battleground. Do you know that? We are the battleground. Our heart is the battleground. We get to choose who is going to come and rule in our lives. We get to choose who's going to come live inside of us. It's not just a matter of going to church and knowing facts. There are rules to this war. And God and the devil both have to go by the rules. God's bigger. Devil's like, it ain't fair. You're bigger. You're the creator. Oh, that ain't fair. You could just win. And God says, nope, I'm going to limit myself to the same things you have to do. I'm going to come and present myself to them, but not in deceit, in truth. I'm going to come and present myself to them and say, do you want me? Do you want me to live inside of you? Do you want to receive me? Do you want my life in you? So does the devil. But he doesn't come straight up like God because he's the opposite. Number one, am I willing to see my sin and the Antichrist spirits that are involved? Point number two, we need God to reveal this sin in the spirits so that we see them through His eyes. Listen to these two verses, please. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection, who is the image of God, Christ is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world, the little g God, comes and blinds the minds of them which believe not. He tries to distract them, get them caught up in all kinds of stuff. He comes and offers them things, self-protection, glory, prominence, power, all kinds of stuff. If they receive the gospel, the light shines unto them. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. It is the gospel. And that is the light. We have to come through Jesus. Now, we receive Him, we could start seeing things we couldn't see before. Because we're birthed into a whole another world. We become alive spiritually. Before that, everything's physical. We don't understand the spiritual until we're born again. We can't even perceive it. We don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Because we're not spiritually alive. We're spiritually dead. When we become spiritually alive, all of a sudden spirit things start becoming real. We start understanding them. So let's go back to point two. We need God to reveal this sin and the Spirit so we see them through His eyes. Turn that into a question that you're going to pray. Turn that into a question. Somebody say it out loud. Make it a question.
Will we allow God to reveal this sin and the Spirit so that we can see them through His eyes?
There you go. Will we allow God to reveal this sin or these sins? And the spirits, so that we can see them through His eyes. If we see Him through His eyes, what are we going to do if we see Him through His eyes? What does that mean to see Him through His eyes? Do you have an idea? Yes. Repentance. That's a good word, and that's true. But I want us to keep going beyond that. What do you think that means, to see them through His eyes? I'm sorry? One more time.
Wisdom in the Word.
Good. What else? To have spiritual eyes. What does that mean?
To be able to see the way God sees.
Okay. Did you want to say something? Did you hear what she said?
No.
Wait a minute. Say that again, please.
I said we can't break agreement with the lies until we see the truth, like
right.
From His perspective.
Right.
Right?
That is so good.
If the reason we're agreeing with them is because they deceived us and tricked us, then it would take an absolute godly revelation of truth in order to set us free and deliver us from being in agreement.
Did you hear that? If we're being deceived by an Antichrist spirit, in order for us to see them, it would take a divine or a God-revealed truth to set us free. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you..." Right. But he that commits... Two verses later, he said, "He that commits sin is a servant of sin." You can't be the servant of God and the servant of sin at the same time. Now watch this. Here's what I put on here, just thinking about it this morning, just giving you this. Tell me if this helps you, okay? As soon as I get back to it, it turned, it moved. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. I've turned that into a question, like what Leida said. Has God revealed my sins to me so that I see them through His eyes? What does that mean, to see my sins through God's eyes? How does God see sin? Are you ready? Evil, detestable, which means hate, to hate it. Devilish, that's how God sees sin. He sees it as damning me. He sees it as destroying others. He sees it as dividing me from goodness and God. How does God see sin? Why do we got to deal with sin? How are we supposed to? What's this whole thing of sin? Why can't we just say, Jesus, You died on the cross for me, and that's enough, and then I don't have to think about it again? Because though we can settle our account with God and become part of His family by being birthed through repentance toward God and faith in the only One that could take care of our sin, the Lamb of God, the eternally accepted Lamb of God, the Lamb without spot or blemish, the One who has no sin, who's perfect. Now we're birthed into His family. We're birthed into His family. Okay? I'm Carson. I'm birthed into Tom's family. Is that going to change? Is there anything I can do to change that? I'm Carson. Is there anything I can do to change that?
No.
I'm birthed into Tom's family. What if I don't like what Tom does, or what if he doesn't like what I do? Can we cut each other off?
No.
I'm always going to be his son, and he's always going to be my dad, right?
Yes.
Whether he's a good dad or a bad dad, whether I'm a good son or a bad son. The relationship is there. But let me go hit my mom. Let me go mouth off to my mom. Little Carson, little Harvey, you go do this. No. And then I slap her or hit her. Now, does that make sweet fellowship between me and Tom or me and Patty as my mom? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. That is not going to make for good fellowship, is it? I can have a relationship with God, but sin has to be dealt with horizontally. Vertically, it's taken care of. Horizontally, I've got to deal with it, because if I don't, is it okay for me? I'm your son. We got another son. Here's your son. And you love both of us. We're both your natural sons, okay? Now, I hit him. Is that okay?
No.
I slap him. Is that okay? I spit on him. I steal his food. I break his toys. Is that okay? He stabs me. Is that okay? You got what you deserve. Now I'll take you to the doctor. Did you learn yet, or do you need another poke? Okay. I'm born in the family of God. Sue's born in the family of God. We're married. God married us. She's His daughter. I'm His son. Is it okay for me to treat her bad? Is it okay for me to lie to her? Is it okay for me to commit adultery against her, whether it's physically or in my mind? Do you understand? Why? You see, God set up those Ten Commandments to protect us from one another and to show us that nobody could live up to perfection, so we needed God. That's what it says in Galatians. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I want you to realize these spirits come and deceive us. But they only have power as we give them power. What does point number three say? Where is it? Somebody read it. Here, read it out loud, Jason.
Admit to ourselves that the sin and these spirits are in us, and we admit the truth, God grants us repentance. We just need to know our own sin, no jade, no justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, no blame shifting.
Okay. Let's turn number three into a question. Look at number three, turn it into a question.
Can we admit to ourselves that these sins are in us and these spirits are in us?
Am I willing to admit and take responsibility for my own sin? How about that? Am I willing to admit and take responsibility for my own sin? See, we want to get deliverance. We want to get victory. But in order to do that, we need to think on these things and we need to go there and we need to meditate, just like what several of you have said, as you're memorizing these scriptures, as you're thinking on them. As you're looking at the verses around them, it's taking you further. It's helping you get something you need. It's opening things up for you. So let's make these into a question for ourselves personally. Am I willing to admit and take responsibility for my own sin? Because we're wanting deliverance and we're wanting the victory. But we don't get it when we're pointing at somebody else. Well, I'm having a problem in my marriage because of her. Don't you know what she does? You know how hard it is to be married to her?
That's what you get for trying to use me as an example. You get my friends. My friends will take you down.
You know how hard it is to be married to her?
No, really.
That's why we pray for Dudley Daly.
That's right. Thank you.
Dudley Daly, Dudley Daly. It just flows. Dudley Daly. Prayer, prayer, prayer. My point is it's real easy to point at somebody else. But even the girl, is it okay to rape a girl? I'm trying to make a point here, and I'm trying to get your attention. If it's not okay to rape a girl, the guy is wrong. He deserves some bad stuff to happen to him. But watch this. What about what the woman does after she gets raped? Is it okay for her to want to hate him? For her to want him dead? See, she was wronged. She was wronged. Are you listening? I'm trying to take an extreme case to help you understand the whole point here. What? That or a wooden mallet. But anyway, okay, I didn't mean to go there. I'm trying to help y'all with something. I'm sorry y'all were going a little, you know, how come when I want you to go deep on some things, you don't go to that, but we go there and y'all want to like, dive in, everybody, dive in, everybody in the pool, you know. I'm saying this for a reason. When somebody sins, is it okay for us to sin because they sinned against us? Yes, sir.
Two wrongs ain't going to make a right.
That's right. Two wrongs don't make a right. The point is this. Somebody sins against us. Somebody sins against us. It's not okay for us to sin. And we're not going to get deliverance. We're not going to have peace. We're not going to have joy. God can't come and feel sorry for us and kiss our little boo-boos when we're wanting to settle it ourselves. Does that make sense? We're wanting to take things into our own hands. Do you follow what I'm saying? So let's look at point one. I'm going to go there. Somebody, I'm going to read these. Just so we can go there, I wanted to turn these into questions. That's what I felt like God wanted to do here, but having a hard time doing that. With okay, going back and forth. The first question, am I willing? We have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits we partnered with. Number two, we need God to reveal this sin. Are you willing to see your sin? Are you willing to realize that there's spirits that we partnered with? Number two, we need God to reveal this sin and the spirits. God, please open my eyes. Please help me to see what I'm not seeing. I want to see it through your eyes. I go to deal with somebody and they say, yep, I'm a sinner. Do you understand what that means? Yep, I deserve punishment. I deserve go to hell. Have you been born again? When you were... I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Have you been born again? Because if you have, when you saw your sin and you saw Jesus on the cross, was it just a matter of fact? Hey, Jesus on the cross for me, took care of my sin, it's all done. Was it that way for you when you met Jesus? You see, when you see your sin and you realize that there is a payment for that, and you realize, I have to pay for this sin. I'm responsible. And you admit it, I'm responsible. And then you see Jesus on that cross because you realize you're responsible and the only payment for sin is death or blood. Let's see if I'm at that place. Notes on the next one. Give me 1 second. I want to give you... Turn over to Leviticus. I want to show you about 6 or 7 verses and I think we'll be done. Not yet. We're going to be in Leviticus. Jesus, where is it? I thought it was right here. Hang on 1 second. Wait a minute. Where was I? Okay. Oh, hang on. Give me 1 second. I was in the wrong verse to look it up. I put it on a different verse. What? If you're in Leviticus, hold your place and turn over to Hebrews 9:22. That's in there, brother. But there's about 6 other ones that I want you to see along with it. Hebrews 9:22. New Testament. And almost all things... Are you in Hebrews 9:22? And almost all things are by the law purged or cleansed with blood. But without the shedding of blood, now watch this, without the shedding of blood, without killing someone or something, there is no remission, there is no removal, there is no forgiveness of sin. Sin requires death. Sin requires blood. That's why Jesus couldn't be hanged. He had to die by His blood. Now we're in Leviticus. And I believe it starts in chapter 4. I put it in the category of offering for sin. Leviticus 4:20. And he shall do with a bullock as he did with a bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. I'm going to read a number of verses, but I'm going to give you a background little thing, and then we're going to read these verses. Are you ready? Somebody sins. They have a sin consciousness. They're aware of their sin. Pagan countries and people have done it throughout history. When they sinned, somehow they wanted to atone or make up for their sin. There are Catholics to this day down in Mexico, probably over in Spain and Italy, and they beat themselves. They make a whip and they beat, when they sin, once a year they take and they beat themselves until they're bleeding. And they feel like they've atoned for their sin. They feel like their suffering is going to make their sin. God, I'm sorry. And there's, because they don't know how to come to Jesus. They don't know how to get, they don't know how to bring a satisfactory offering to God. But they know they deserve punishment. So they take a whip and they beat themselves. There's people that, Catholics down in Mexico, that get on their knees. I'm just talking about them in particular. I don't know everybody, every kind of nation and whatever. They get on their knees, and there's Buddhists and people like that over in China and places. And they get on their knees and they'll pray and they'll go to the temple and they'll get at the bottom step. The concrete stone steps, and they pray, and they go up to the next step, and they pray, and by the time they get to the top, they're bloodied, their clothes are torn, their body is torn, and they've prayed and they've asked forgiveness repeatedly. There's all kinds of nations that do all kinds of things to themselves trying to atone. Atone means to bring, make at one. Atone. Look at the word. A-T-N-O-N-E. At one. Atone. That's an easy way to remember what it means. It means for two to be brought together. For two to come back, to be reconciled. To atone, to make right. And people try to atone for their sin. In the Old Testament, God set up a way when you sin, depending on your sin, you had to come and offer an animal sacrifice. You had to make an offering for your sin. Here's the temple. I live over here. I raise sheep. I've sinned. See, I'm trying to live by the law. I'm trying to do everything perfectly. That's why they're so rigid. That's why they're trying to be legalistic. Because they're trying to live by the law. They're trying to do right. But when they sin, they have to look through their sheep and find the best one. You can't just pick one. Oh, well, I'll take this one. He's got a blemish. Oh, I'll take this one. He wouldn't be good to sell because he got caught by a wolf before I killed the wolf and got torn. God says, I don't want your leftovers. I don't want just any offering. I want a perfect offering. And He takes and He picks out His best. And He puts a rope around that sheep and He takes it through town. Now here's all the townspeople, and they see somebody walking toward the temple with a sheep with a rope around their neck and leading them to the temple. They all know why you're doing it. You sinned. That's part of what God wanted us to do, was to understand Number one, it cost us something. Number two, there needs to be shame. This isn't something you just flippantly, oh, Jesus paid for it. Oh, it's okay. Jesus died. As if that's nothing. And as he walks through town with the sheep, sheep hasn't done anything. And as he's walking through town, everybody's looking at him. And they know he sinned. And he takes the sheep and he comes to the priest. Not just anybody could offer the sheep. The person could come and bring it to the priest, but the priest had to be somebody set apart unto God. The priest had to be somebody whose life was given to God. It was a complete, it was this big picture, God showing us coming to Him through Jesus, who is our high priest. And as He brought this lamb and the priest, what did you do? Why are you offering this? Sheep, this innocent animal. Why are you offering it? My sin. What sin? And he had to name it. Because depending on the sin, depended on the way he was supposed to do the offering. And what he was supposed to offer. You didn't bring the right animal. You need to go get an oxen. You need to go get a turtle dove. It depended on the sin. You had to name it. And then the priest, when he had the right one, the guy named it. Come here, do me a favor and be a sheep. Right here. Here, turn around. Head this way. Okay? He said, I want you to take. And he said, you have to identify with this sheep. Because this sheep has taken your place. Put your hand on the sheep's head, and the man, you, put your hand on his head, identifying yourself with him. And then the priest took a knife and slit his throat and caught the blood. And the animal died. And it was all because of your sin. Thank you, little sheep. Yes, sir? That's right. And sometimes, right, sometimes the man had to take and kill the animal himself. But the priest is there. Now, hear what I'm saying. This is how God set up in the Old Testament, and it was all a picture of Jesus and us today. Us. Does that sound like a flippant thing to deal, how to deal with sin? Does that sound like, oh, it's okay, I confess my sin? No. I'm sorry. That's why I told my kids, I don't want you to say, I'm sorry. When you hurt your sister or your brother, I want you to say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Not because those words are magic, but I'm trying to help them to understand in their heart. It's not a flippant, I'm sorry. Take it or leave it. I said I'm sorry. Do you understand? That's what we do with God. So let's read in Leviticus. Let's read that verse again. Chapter 4, verse 20, I believe it is. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. He brings the innocent lamb. I name my sin. I identify with him. He is taking my sin. Because sin requires death. If he did not bring that, The law required that the man had to die. Janiah sinned. She won't bring the animal. It's found out. Then we kill Janiah. Because she sinned and she didn't make atonement for her sin. Do you understand how serious this is? I want you to look at verse 26, same chapter. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. When the priest, it had to come through the priest. You come to the temple, you come to the church, you come through the priest. God had a specific way, and death, blood, was required every single time for sin. Chapter 4, verse 35. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, because we want to have peace with God. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and then it shall be forgiven him. I don't have time to go into this, but if God opened this up to you, you would weep. These little words, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. The reason Jesus had to go through what he had to go through was in the Old Testament, it was a picture of going through the fire of testing, trial, what he had to go through. It wasn't a light, easy thing. Hey, guys, we're all sitting around drinking Cokes. Hey, now, hey, just go down and die on the cross. It wasn't a light thing. It was a heavy thing. That's why when you read about the crucifixion of Jesus and all the things that went along with it, it was a heavy thing. He was paying for all our sin. I love you, Tana, and your tender heart for God. I just think it's so cool. Leviticus 5:10. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner. And the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin, which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 12. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. 5:18. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, in other words, you choose it, of what you see is best. God knows, but he wants to know, are you going to come in agreement with him? Are you going to offer him your best? For a trespass offering, trespass, have you ever seen a sign that says no trespassing? Do you know what that means? What does it mean? What does no trespassing mean? It means you don't go there. It means you can't cross those lines. See, trespass means to go beyond a limit. So look, read it that way. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering. You went beyond the limits unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist or knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. Well, I didn't know it was a sin. It's still a sin. Even if you didn't know, you still had to pay for it. Ignorance is no excuse of the law. I didn't know it was only 35. Guess what? I'm going to give you a ticket, and you'll have it in writing. You'll know it from now on.
I mean, all of that stream was even for the sin so far when they didn't even realize it. All of a sudden they went, oh, I didn't know that was a sin. Now I know it's a sin. That was the extreme.
You know, God has provided, folks, if we were in Old Testament times, it was hard. When I was over there in Israel last year, those people are living under law. They live this rigid life, and they are not happy because they're trying to keep the law. And guess what? For over 2,000 years now, they haven't had a blood offering. They can't go and offer. And if you try talking to them about it, they want to skirt the issue. They want to, because they can't, it's against the law. They can't go take all these animals and go sacrifice them. God stopped it because God came and offered Himself. And then God stopped it so the animals couldn't be. And now you got this whole nation of people trying to live according to the perfect law of God, and they can't. And so they're carrying all this guilt and burden and condemnation. And they can't get it taken care of because they can't come offer a blood offering and they won't accept God's blood offering. God has a reason why He does things. This is all just light. This is heavy duty stuff. But it's to help us with our everyday life. Am I willing to see my sin? Am I willing, do I want God to open my eyes? Oh God, please open my eyes. I need to see it through your eyes. And not take it lightly. Not act like it's okay, well they did this so I can do that and I'm justified. It's not okay. You're not justified. And then you don't have peace. You don't have joy. You don't have grace. Grace is when God gives you the desire and the ability to do His will. You don't even have desire to do God's will. You don't have desire to read. You don't have desire to go to church. And you justify in your head why you don't do it. It's because you're holding on to sin. Are you hearing me? You've not only been deceived by it, you're now making a conscious choice to hold on to it, and it keeps you away from God. It separates you between you and God. And when it separates between you and God, it separates between you and peace, between you and life, between you and love, between you and joy, between you and power, between you and presence of God. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you lose the joy of your salvation. You lose the power of your salvation. You lose the presence, the whole meaning of your salvation. That's why some people that are truly born again die at a young age. Because they will not be corrected. And God gives them an eternal time out. He keeps pleading. They won't listen. They won't be corrected. I can't just let you go run and play. I got to give you a timeout. I've tried everything. I'm going to bring you in the house. That's what my mom used to do. I'm going to bring you in the house and you're going to have a timeout. First you're going to get a good board meeting. And then you're going to get a timeout. She chased me with a belt. She held onto my arm. And as I ran, she just turned in a circle. She took me out from playing with my friends. I want you to get something today. Because what I'm talking about is real heavy. Where I was going, I thought today, by the way God was giving it to me, I was like so excited, I was telling Glenn, I can't even hardly wait, I'm just going to share it. But here's what I want you to get. So big. I want you to get what you're after. And what you're after is freedom from sin. What you're after is, you know, when you're in His presence and you're just full of joy and you're full of His presence and it's like, you're just like, I didn't know it could be like this. I'm, you know what I'm talking about? You just like want to love everybody. Is this my little Roxanne saying that? I just want to love everybody. You see, she gets so full of God, she can't help but God everybody. Because God is love. I want you to think about that. Do you remember? Just remember the last time or any time when you were so full of love and so full of joy, it just thought, I didn't know it could be like this, because you had never, life wasn't like this until you met Jesus and then you started learning how to do this. I'm talking to you about how to live here. I'm talking to you about how to live here. Not visit here. In the beginning you're going to visit, but the visits are going to get closer and closer till you start abiding, living, remaining, dwelling, hanging out with Jesus. And you're going to live there and you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it's like every time you go to talk to somebody, you can't help it. You're just like busting with God. But to do that, we have to understand and deal with our sin. And it's not you. Don't you understand? It's not you. You got deceived. Prison warden, would you please throw on the floodlights? Click, 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 click. Can you see? The light's on now. Can you see? Are they exposed? Can you see? It's not you. We're going to read one passage. We're going to be done. While we're in Leviticus, let's read one verse, and then we're going to read one passage. We're going to be done. I know I'm going a little long today. Please forgive me. You probably need to give me forgiveness every time I talk. I can't help it. Okay? But I care so much. Because when you get this, it's going to so set you free. You're going to be, I'm not kidding you. When you show up, you're not even going to be walking. You're just going to be like on clouds. I'm so full of God. Leviticus 17:11, please. Leviticus 17:11. Let me know when you're there. Let me see your eyeballs. Okay? You ready? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar. I have given blood to you upon the altar. This is how I've set it in my mind for all eternity. And I've given you the blood upon the altar, which is a meeting place with God, to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 7, I believe it is. Is it Romans 7? Pretty sure it is. Come on. Oh, where am I? Romans 7, I believe it starts with verse 11. I'll be there in a minute. I think it's 11 through 24. Romans 7. Whoops. I did 7:7. That's okay. I had not known sin except the law had said. Okay, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion, dear Holy Spirit, while I'm reading this, I am asking that you would help them to put on their 3D glasses and that you or 4D glasses, I guess, and that you would open up their hearts, that they could see clearly what you showed me and I thought we were going to get to today. Thank you, Lord. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Sin deceived me. And by it, by sin, slew me. By that deception, I was slain or killed. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And then somebody's trying to reason with him. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Was the law made death unto me? God forbid! But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. In other words, it could become very clear it's sin. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. But I, Paul, wish I could give that with you, but for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do in my flesh, in my spirit, I allow not. For that I would, that my spirit wants to do, that do I with my flesh not. But what I hate, what my spirit hates, that my flesh does. If then my flesh does that which my spirit would not, my spirit consents on the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more my spirit that does it, but sin that dwells in my flesh. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will or to want to do right is present with me. But how to perform that which is good in my flesh, I don't find that. For the good that my spirit would do, my flesh won't do it. But the evil which my spirit would not do, that my flesh does. Now, let's see if I do that. Now, if my spirit does that, if my flesh does that, that my spirit would not, it is no more my spirit that does it, but sin that dwells in my flesh. I find then a law that when my spirit would do good, evil is present with me. An antichrist spirit of evil is present with me. There's two now. There's me, and there's this evil spirit. Who's doing the sin? The evil spirit. How's he doing it? He's borrowing my flesh. Now, wait a minute. Don't I have power? I get to choose who's going to live through me. So how's he keep using me? Because he deceives me, right? You ready? I find in a law that when my spirit would do good, evil is present with me. For my spirit delights in the law of God after the inward man. But my spirit sees another law in my members, in my body, warring against the law of my mind or my spirit and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members or in my flesh. Oh, wretched, wicked, despicable, hateful man that I am! Who, oh God, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the only one who can deliver me. So then, with the mind, my spirit serves the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. I want you to read that this week. I want you to read that this week. And I want God, you to ask God. I want you to put in place of the word I or me, either spirit or flesh. Did you hear me? Because I just gave this is an open book test. I just gave you the answer, but you got to figure out, because it's a fill in the blank, okay? The word I or me in this passage, every time, is going to either be spirit or flesh. Now, why did I say that? I'm glad you asked. All right, watch. Do you want to sin, Glenn?
No.
Do you sin, Glenn?
Yes.
I thought you said you don't want to sin, Glenn.
I don't want to.
But do you sin?
Yes.
How do you sin?
Daily.
Without interruption, right? Right. With your flesh.
Right.
You know what this is saying, this passage? I don't want to sin. But this flesh sins. I get angry. I get selfish. I get proud. I get judgmental. I do little pity parties. I do accusation. Are you with me? Is that where you want to live? I find that a law in my members that when I would do good... I'm going to borrow you as a minute.
Okay.
Earlier you were sheep and you were innocent.
Uh-huh.
Now you get to play the opposite of that.
Okay.
You're an evil spirit. Oh, I find that a law in my members that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Do you get it? When I would do good, evil is present with me. I want to treat Rick nice. But how do I trick? He whispers in my ear, and I end up hurting Rick. I want to give Roxanne a hug, but he whispers in my ear, and instead I say something demeaning, and I hurt her. I want to be open to my wife, but he whispers something in my ear, and instead I close up, put up a shield, and I hurt her, and turn away her affection. I find that a law in my members that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Have a seat, please. He's not evil. He's made in the image of God. That's what I want you to understand. What? Our constant battle. This is how to live Jesus. How do we live Jesus? As soon as we sin, you know what we need to do? We need to take the lamb. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
As soon as we sin, every time we stop, I just hurt somebody. I just lied. I just was full of lust. I just was full of pride. I just hurt somebody. Whatever. I take the lamb, Jesus, with a rope around his neck. And as I'm walking through to the temple, everybody sees me. I need to humble myself. I need to come to shame. Oh God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And I'm leading Jesus to the cross. And now I nail him. Or I take a knife. And the priest says, is this your offering? Yes. Put your hand on the head of your lamb. And now I'll slit his throat. Here, you take the knife this time. You slit his throat. Do you understand? We take when we sin and we bring it immediately. We take that picture and we bring it to God. Oh God, I don't want this living in me. I don't want this being present with me anymore. God, please forgive me. I don't want Him living through me anymore. Jesus, I'm so glad that you were willing to love me and die for me. But I'm so sorry that I caused you to be dragged through the street with a rope around your neck. I'm so sorry you had to carry that cross. I'm so sorry you had to be rejected. I'm so sorry that my sin nailed you. But I love you. Thank you so much you did that for me when I wasn't even aware of it. Do you see how it would make you love Him more? Do you see how it makes us get serious about sin? And you bring it, and you understand, when it's under the blood, it's taken care of. On the paper, on the second page, it'll tell you what God does with our sin when they're properly dealt with. It says He buries them in the sea. They're under the blood. He separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. In other words, they'll never come before Him again when they're properly dealt with. And when we do that, we walk away from there more careful. We're walking away from the temple more careful. We don't just flippantly treat people the way we did. Don't we find ourselves being more careful about words coming out of our mouths and things after we meet Jesus? The closer you are to that salvation, you want to live in that place and not become callous and take it for granted. Does that make sense? And when we walk away from there, I know it cost Him His life, but He just set me free. I didn't get what I deserve. He set me free. Now I'm available to what Jesus deserves. Father's going to treat me as if I'm Jesus. He's going to treat me as if I'm a Christian. And He's going to bless me. He'll answer as soon as I go to talk. Immediate access to God. That's why I ask Him one of those points. Do you know what Jesus made available for you? I think it's point number 9. Do you know what Jesus made available for you? Because as we know these things, it sets us free. As we know these things, we learn to let Him live through us instead of letting Him, not Him, but that evil presence live through us. But we have to deal with it properly, thoroughly. Does it make sense? Any questions? This week, Romans 7, 11 through 24, I want you to turn every word of I or me into either spirit or flesh.